Well, we want to thank everyone for joining us across the globe on the Kingdom Clarion Call Global Network. I am Dr. Keith Rold, a.k.a. Dr. K, as well as Lady Joy. She will be joining us momentarily, and we want to thank God for this President Day, which is a holiday. I took my daughter out to eat, and she said, well, really, that's not a true holiday. All it is a mattress sale or electronics, but nonetheless, hopefully you had a great day off if you didn't have to work. Those of you who are joining us, we have several people from the east and the south down in Texas, no one from the west coast yet that have joined us. We have Cameroon, South Africa, Uganda, I'm sorry, not Cameroon yet, but Nigeria, South Africa, and Uganda, and hopefully the ones from Cameroon will join us. But we're so elated on this marvelous, magnificent money-making Monday. You have joined us, and we are in for a treat as we continue with the African-American History Tribute Month celebration. I was out of the country in Rwanda last week, and we want to thank Pastor George for leading us on Monday morning men's call, as well as Monday night when Dr. Vitas spoke, His Excellency, that represents the UN. He spoke about Nelson Mandela and coming out of Babel, as well as looking at freedom from the eyes of Nelson Mandela. And so we know that he broke the back of apartheid, and we thank God for him tonight. We are, this will be recording number 591. You can always go back and listen to the playback from this morning. It was 590. I spoke about completing our wives, and Dr. Vitas, King Vitas, spoke about creating the next you, about knowing when the time to step back and to also identify the next person that's going to take your place. The Gen Next need us, and we also need them. The time is right, and the time is now to lead from the front, the middle, and the back. Well, it is with great pleasure. I want to say hello to Mario, her husband. Normally when we have wives to speak, we ask their husband, but Mario is the first gentleman. Congratulations, Mario. I love this couple. We were members at Now Word. I think some of our people from Now Word will join us later on. I sent out the flyer and an invite to them. But anyway, Kashina, she is a retired decorated veteran of the United States Air Force. She has accomplished great things in the Department of Defense, community leader with more than 30 years of experience in government planning and project management, as well as philanthropy. And she's going to tell her story tonight of how she, in a dream, God told her to run for mayor. And she called some of the elders, some of the ones that have served as mayor, and she wanted to get their blessings. And I think only one person told her no, but when God say yes, nobody can say no. You go, girl, with your bad self. And so she became the 18th mayor of the city of Glen Arden. And I lived in Maryland, and I went to church in Glen Arden, First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. And so she's the third woman mayor in the city's 82-year history. She's also a community activist, and some of you are on the line tonight. We use the KCCGN as a great networking platform, so definitely she'll give her contact information. You contact her. Some of you that are elected officials in New York, you already said you're looking for a person of her stature and caliber to mentor you, and I feel she's open to that. But anyway, she started through the ROTC program at Mississippi State University, HCBU, and also she done many great, she holds countless credentials. But let me just give some of the things that she believes in. She believed the value of community is in the heart and eyes of our children. Some of her fondest memories in Glen Arden are working with the Woodmore Town Center community leaders, and Glen Arden's finest police department to host community activities. They had a peace march today with cars gathering like tailgate at the football, and it was for voting rights. And she believes that she is an advocate to build a strong community spirit in Glen Arden, and she has done so many accolades and achievements. It will go on ad infinitum. She is the wife of Mario. He was also in the military, and they have two daughters. And well, Mayor, welcome to the Kingdom Clarion Call Global Network. And she's going to be speaking on, I've unmuted you, Getting Back to Black, Breaking the Silence of Mental Health and Wellness Today, Rebuilding Our Community. Thank you for your salute, your support, your service, and your sacrifice to our great nations. And congratulations to being mayor, the third woman mayor among 18 in the city. Glen Arden is a growing city, and I know that you're the right person at the right time to do the right thing. So welcome.
Well, thank you, Dr. Rawlings. Thank you so much to you and your lovely wife, Joy. To everyone on the call, it gives me great honor and pleasure to be able to be on this call today. I take nothing for granted. I thank God for the opportunity to serve him every day. And for us to be here together, it is not by accident, but I think we live our lives on purpose, God's time. So for me, I just want to make sure that I clear it up. Mississippi State University is not an HBCU.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess if you would look at the statistics of the amount of African Americans who do attend it, we could rival the numbers at an HBCU. But traditionally, it's not an HBCU. But I did come through the Reserve Officers Training Corps with the United States Air Force there. I was commissioned in 1998 as an officer in the Intelligence Corps. So he's correct what he says in that I was often frequently in an environment where I was the only one of my kind. And you can imagine that today's themology of getting back to black, breaking the silence of mental health in our community, you got to understand the stamina that it takes to be often placed in an environment where you're the only one of your kind. And I'm talking African-American black female. So I do acknowledge our 82 years here in the city of Glen Arden. Glen Arden has a proud heritage, has created and crafted an environment where we have groomed congressmen, senators. We have groomed delegates for our state legislators, and we've also created council members out of this city. And now the third and 18th mayor in its 82-year history, a little country girl from Aberdeen, Mississippi, named Kashina Cross. I am so honored, again, to be put in a position where God has called me to a next level. Many of you possibly know about this. When God gives you a calling, you don't say no, right? So what happened for me was very similar to what Dr. Rowley said to us, which was on 1:30 in the morning, about 1:30 in the morning, I was pretty much waking up from a deep sleep, and God says, I want you to run for mayor. Heard it clear as day. I said, whoa, Lord, I just got here. Been in this city for about 4 good years, and my family had done a lot of support. I was currently serving on the Ethics Commission as the vice chairman for the city of Glen Arden, so I wasn't in total isolation from policy of the city. So being a part of the Ethics Commission, that is. So I said, okay, well, you know, we have some familiarity with the charter, which is a municipality is ran by the charter, just like the Magna Carta, just like the Bill of Rights runs this great nation, the Constitution, if you will. For a municipality, the charter is the Constitution. It is the laws, the bylaws by which every citizen in a municipality lives and breathes. We do have a two-party house, one being the mayor and the administration, and the other being the city council, which is made up of seven members that are elected officials, four at large, and three elected from one of the three wards that make up our beautiful city. So now, without further ado, I just wanted to make that brief introduction so that you kind of get an understanding of, you know, some of the mountains that I've had to climb on this journey. But again, when God calls you to a purpose, you don't say no, because whatever he brings you to, he's going to bring you through. And so that's what I've always stepped out on, one faith and the other hope. And that's one thing that I will tell you to anyone that is listening on this call: without faith, without hope, and without love, we don't exist. That is what makes angels out of all of us in this environment. Getting back to Black, our city is about 86% African American. At the time that it was created, 1911, when it wasn't comfortable being Black in America, during the Great Wars and such, two families, African Americans, did establish the city of Glen Arden as a town then across a railroad track, which was literally the dead end. And now you can see it connects all the way from Washington, D.C. to Annapolis to Baltimore to New York City. So that's what we're talking about, growth. We're talking about the change in America that affects even the lowest grassroots places in America. All of us have the priority to collaborate together. Today I started with talking about us having a motorcade for peace. This motorcade went across three cities. One of the things that I talked to my citizens when I decided and was given the right and honor in an at-large election, where I did take the majority vote, not once but twice, because we ended up in a runoff election, was about the fact that cities are not isolated any longer. We could have a high-speed chase that starts in Washington, D.C., will come across three cities and end up in the city of Glen Arden, where either a person is apprehended or it will continue to the next city over, which is Bowie, Maryland, and then we would have to hand off, hand off, hand off. When I talk about our policing, the ability to hand off, you can apply that to every facet of your life. Every bit of it is a building block to success. No matter what job, no job as I've ever been given, I've looked upon as being a lesser job than the next expected job that I would be receiving. So if you would follow me on this journey, okay, everything under the sun has purpose, rhyme, and reason for that moment in time. And when I say that, being in the military gave me a lot of opportunities to try different things. 27 countries I was able to see while being in the United States Air Force. I've had two dreams when I was a child, one to be an international traveler, check. The other one was to be an attorney. Well, if you read my life story, I've had plenty enough time defending not only myself, but many of my subordinates who would find themselves in an uncompromising circumstance, created by themselves or created by others. Yes, I did fall victim to prejudice while I was in the military, which caused me to question whether or not that was the journey for me. But God has a rhyme and reason to everything. That test became a testimony. And from that testimony, I went on further to be named top 1% in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, that the Supreme Headquarters, Allied Powers Europe, Belgium. So I say that to say, when I talk to my citizens, when I talk to you this evening, that there is a goal, and that goal is the implementation of greater. I have an extraordinary transformation series that I've started in this city, and that is to remind us of who we are as a people, the change that was able to be crafted in 1911, again, when it wasn't comfortable being black in America, to grow it to a city where we are the flagship city, if you will, for commerce. We have the flagship commerce shopping center for the entire Prince George's County. It's right here in my city. And that's a big journey for a small city. So I just want everyone to understand that, for me, neighborhood conservation is key. We are building a framework for keeping pace with a rapidly evolving infrastructure. Our county, Prince George's County, is growing. America is growing. We have now seen our children, thanks to this pandemic, come out of the classroom, go into a homeschool circumstance where every child in America was put on a laptop, some of which didn't even have laptops before this happened, many of which had parents who had never seen a laptop in their home because they were too expensive to buy. We have now seen what God has given us as the next generation of change. These laptops in the hands of elementary school babies, babies that haven't even come into first grade even, preschooled, is now giving them the energy, the power to change technology for the 22nd century. Many of our children's children will be those that will craft how we will place men and women in outer space, how we will continue to evolve the conundrum of change that needs to happen across our communities to evolve us in a place where jurisdiction no longer has prime and reason, but public servitude is the number one priority. And when I say that, as a wife and a mother of two, positively standing on a resolute determination that we have to collectively uplift our communities. Today, I have reached out to more than 15 nonprofit organizations just in my immediate community, grassroots organizations who are bringing change to ordinary life. I have reached out to personnel who have opened homeless shelters, reached out to personnel who are essentially creating underground railroads, just like Harriet Tubman did, for women who are escaping battered situations. Reaching out to organizations who are combating human trafficking. Yes, it is not just an international problem. We have it here in America, too. Human trafficking is becoming the number one criminal activity in all of our communities. Reaching out to organizations who are taking those that have been incarcerated for lesser crimes and helping them to rebuild a lifestyle that benefits community when they return, that they won't come back to a life of crime, but they will come back to a life of honorable service to community. And participating in that role, I want to highlight, is work group management, which is allowing them to actually do business pitch, to people like myself and other executive leaders around our community. Because if you can pitch your business and have a mayor want to bring you on to staff, then you are just about ready to pitch that business to anyone in the world. We are empowering people to take back their lives with Incarcerated Lives Matter. We are also building a resiliency in our retired community. One of the prize journeys that we're on as an administration is finding ways to build programs that reduces the complexity in communications for our seniors, many of which, unlike our kindergartners today to our high schoolers, have not been on the computer, have not had to deal with Zoom, have not had to deal with this age of social media, which all of us are on the journey of trying to discover ourselves. I will say that. For my own self, my first Facebook account happened August of 2021. Because as an intelligence officer, not a lot has to be out there or they'll take you and say, you know what, you got too much business in the street. Very hardcore, very persticky when it comes down to how much extra things you're into. So we literally live in a glass house when you're in intelligence community. But what I will say about our seniors is we are ever more struggling with how to bring forward a world of technology to a set of community excellence traditionally breeds and lives on the newspaper. So the print media now is becoming less seen in a lot of our more progressive towns. And even in the city of Glen Arden, where we once thrived on print media, it's become so expensive now just to send out one advertisement can cost you $1,000. So if you consider $1,000 every time you have to send something else, you could literally spend $12,000 a month. So social media has its pluses. But one of the beautiful things about the state of Maryland and the American Rescue Plan money, which President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, has put in place for America and its municipalities and cities, is the American Rescue Plan money. It has given us an opportunity to expand broadband throughout our communities. And what that means is high-speed internet could be in the home of everyone that wants it. So now we are, by state funding, by national funding, able to provide high-speed internet to our seniors. What we are doing as a community is creating tech world training for our seniors to help them become internet savvy. And that means to protect themselves from cyber threat, from cyber criminals, but also to teach them about good cyber behavior, presence. And this is something that our young people are learning early on, to be very careful about how much you put on the internet. Everything doesn't have to be out there, because sometimes you could tip off a criminal and they will know when you're not home, i.e. you've got a locator on. So these are some of the things that we're doing to build a robust community, thinking with good intentions, good management, and taking some of the frustration and the anger out of a very interesting circumstance which the pandemic has put us in. Mental health in our communities is the second part of my discussion. So we're talking about breaking the silence, getting back to Black. What that means is getting back to understanding the struggles that many of our executive leaders have gone through, the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, the Malcolm X's, the John Lewis's of our previous days have gone through, to afford us to have voting rights and excellences, to have freedoms, particularly here in America, but to expand those opportunities. We have now stood in the gap of excellence, and it is time for us to expand and keep pace again, with a rapid changing infrastructure. We are looking at building healthy communities. And when I say healthy communities, the suicide rate that has happened since 2022 came to fruition is mind-boggling. 2022 has come in, and we have lost one mayor that has, you know, to suicide. And it was mental health that eventually was communicated to the communities that was the problem. And it is time for us in Black America to stop saying mad Black woman. It is time for us to stop saying in our communities, mad Black man. No, if there is something that is going on that is mentally charged, it is time for us in all of our communities to really start to categorize this as not an illness, but as an opportunity for us in community to build a wellness throughout our communities. And when I want to tie this to autism as well, April is Autism Month. And if we look at our autistic community, many of which have very limited communication skills. When I am looking in my community, one of the things that I am training and building a resiliency in our police force is to recognize the difference between mental illness and really criminal behavior. I think the George Floyd case that occurred, the Trayvon Martin case that occurred, has given us so many open avenues to properly assess what is really going on in our protect and serve communities. Policing in our communities has to evolve, and for that to evolve, it will take all of us writing letters and being present in the now to make sure that protect and serve truly means to protect and to serve. Our hearts goes out to those that are suffering in silence. We have a deep recession mentally, based on how much time COVID-19 has taken away from us as family. My family and I often speak about loneliness and how it has caused so many of us to lose persons who we feel like it's really well ahead of their time to be going this early. But I do know that loneliness is very dangerous to the human mind. That's what COVID did to us. One of the things that we're doing in our city, and I've led this charge in our community forums and such, is to bring people back together. For the month of February, we ended up having a Black History Month Movies of Excellence, where we showcase movies, real-life stories from across the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. We started off this month with Hidden Figures. The next movie was Selma. After that, we came forward with Remember the Titans, which was about integrating schools in Alexandria, Virginia through football. And we will end with The Butler, which talks to, you know, how one family working in the White House did, in fact, make change happen. All of these movies talk about people starting from very meager beginnings, not having a lot of opportunities that we have today, but they were able to make big change happen. And the question that we have is, what makes them able to make big change happen where today we have a whole bunch more opportunities, a lot more freedom, a lot more reality where we're not really having to answer to anyone. If we think it, if God gives us the authority and the ability to do it, we can do just about any and everything. No one is restricted from making $1 million. We hold ourselves back. And why is it then that we see such an increase in the suicide rate outside of a clinical issue in America today and otherwise? When we have more, we seem to feel like we have less. We have to attribute that to a few things. One is the acknowledgement, again, of hope. I was very fortunate to be raised in a Christian home where hope was the number one thing that was always taught to us as children. Faith, hope, and love always was taught to us, because if you don't love what you do, there's always the faith that it will either get better or the hope that another opportunity will open and make itself available to you. In saying that, we have a fundamental requirement to promote diversity. As a government, one of the changes that we have instituted is we are expanding our Latina community. In the 2020 census, we saw that our traditional African-American community is becoming very diverse. So we are looking at ways of including our Latina-speaking community by making sure that all of our media is translated. We are also noting that we are having a growing community of hearing and speaking impaired communities, which means we are bringing sign language to our community. Diversity matters. The voice, the perspective, the representation matters throughout all levels of our government, be it race, gender, sexual identity. All should be considered for inclusion. And that's the key to community, inclusion. When I ran for mayor, that was what I noticed right off the bat. I went door to door. Many of our Mexican, Hispanic, Latina community would say to us frequently, "You want my vote, but you don't want my voice." You have to understand how that makes you feel. Now, here I am, a young lady, Black America, been in the military, 27 countries later, personally have experienced discrimination myself, to be told, "You're going to be my next leader. You want my vote, but you don't want my voice." It made me step back for a minute and say, how far have we to where we have taxpaying citizens who feel like their voice doesn't matter? Policies, inequalities, we have to overcome the institutionalized biases that seem to have now taken the forefront of not just America, but globally. Bias is a real threat when it comes down to government. And as I look at the mental health in our communities, the health in our communities, that silence is based on a lot of biases. I'm afraid of what someone may say. I'm afraid of what someone may think. I'm afraid if I'm not going to be successful enough. But a lot of that is just doubt. And I say I was a Christian. I believe that God has given us the endowed abilities to be able to do whatever he brings us to. So there should never be a place where someone is physically holding someone back because of institutionalized biases. And in that place, we do take stand. We stand up to that. And we write our congressmen. And we write. And that is the dying art of society. To not grumble and complain, but to be present and right, to be able to speak up and speak out on the issue, report the outlined priorities, the actions that are required. As a leader myself, I will say we don't know it all, but we should always be making opportunities to hear from our community what those problems are, that we can take action and focus those highest impact and opportunities, be it a wealth gap, be it a cultural gap, be it a language gap, be it a infrastructure gap. Right now, we are standing in an environment where there is so much for us to gain by being together than being apart.
Mayor, can we stop there? Because we got a lot of questions for you. And that was outstanding. We will definitely have you back next month during Women History Month. And so I don't want to put Mario on the spot, but Mario, won't you greet the listening audience? I'll unmute you, and I know you're very proud. Yeah, Mario is a husband that support his wife, and we want to thank you for giving your wife the freedom to do what she is called to do to fulfill her purpose, and you all have arrived at your destiny. Mario?
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, definitely that we have arrived, and we are moving forward with all of our adventures and endeavors that we have, and our bringing the city up to where it needs and where it's been going forward with.
Okay, Mario, I want to ask you, you were also in the military, and so you've also traveled overseas. How is it now, your role as being the wife of the mayor? What do you see your greatest contribution to her success is as a husband?
Well, my major contribution of being a husband of the mayor is to basically keep her focused on what she needs to do to make sure that she's clear and free to be able to express herself as she needs to make sure that we move this city forward and keep focused to keep it to moving forward into the future.
And so it's a family affair, just like someone called into ministry. It's not only about the pastor or the preacher, it's also about the family as well. So I want to thank you for your family. Got out and did the campaigning, and I'm sorry my wife and I could not come to the inauguration. We were out of the country, and I was so great that you thought about us. So we're going to ask Lady Joy to come in and greet us, give us a nugget, and then we're going to take a few questions. You touched on an array of things, mental health. We have some people in that area. We have some elected officials on there, as well as some young people that may be interested in community. All right, Lady Joy, I'm going to unmute you. So don't mute yourself. All right, you're unmuted.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for calling in. And I want to thank the mayor. As she was speaking, I truly listened to her, and I was just happy to hear that a woman stood up and did what God, not what we wanted or what the family wanted, what God wanted her to do. And the passage that came to me was Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. A city that is set on a hill. So when God calls you, when God calls you to that purpose that you don't even know that he calls you, you are a city. You are just on top, not for your glory, but for his glory. It's what Tony Evans that says, wisdom is the ability to apply divine truth to life scenery. That's what I heard from her. Wisdom is the ability to apply divine truth to life scenario. Yes, we may have discrimination. Yes, we may be in a black neighborhood. We are told that we cannot make it. But we get the wisdom of God and we apply it to everything that we've been through. And we use it for his glory. And my last nugget is from John Spence. You will never become who you want to be if you keep blaming everyone else from who you are now. Oh, I am black. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I don't have a good education. Oh, I come from a poor neighborhood. What can you do about it? You will never become who you want to be if you keep blaming everyone else for who you are now. Who are you now? We can get better. So thank you, Mayor, so much for that. Every woman hearing her say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Lady Joy. Text me that so I can put this in the summary to send out to everybody because some of the things I did not hear. All right. I'm going to start off. I would like for you to go straight to the point. And Mayor Cross, if you can give us an abridged, you know, answer because we got a few people that would like to ask you a question, starting with Derek Varner, Elder Derek Varner in San Antonio, Texas, that was at Now Word with us, and we're so proud of this family. I tell you, I'm doing several stuff. You said that God woke you up, and you did have some opposition, and how did what you went through as a woman, as a black person, prepared you to beat the odds of when that one woman mayor, and oftentimes it's another woman that will discourage a woman that's trying to do things. How did you combat that? And then the second question is, what do you feel in 4 months? You are on a fast track. What do you feel is your greatest achievement for the city of Glen Arden? And I know some of the stalwarts. I went to Glen Arden Church, and many of them lived in that community, and they made great sacrifices. So those two questions, and then Derek Varner. And then if you have a question, unmute yourself, and then I'll know who has a question. Mayor?
Thank you so much. First, I want to just say, Lady Joy, thank you so much for those beautiful words. You're absolutely right. We don't blame others for what we believe in ourselves we need to do. Do what God calls you to do despite what others say. To Elder Varner, thank you so much again for those two questions. Yes, how did that feel to have another woman tell another woman no? Well, you know, I have been told by many executives there's a cold place in Hades for women who hold back other women. It is hard for us as women, black women as well, to achieve, to grow, to strength. It's very, very sad. Is what it is. So how did I overcome that? I put it in a bucket that it was supposed to be in. Jealousy is a bad characteristic. And I never let someone else's character determine the character that I will have in any circumstance. When God has given you an order, there will always be opposition. No one likes it. A Christian faces that fact every single day. We, as God's servants, are allowed to have opposition in our life because if it wasn't for that opposition, there's no testimony for having had the test. What I am doing right now in your second question is showing that young lady why the right choice was God's choice. We have fed. We wanted to feed 300, we fed 500. We wanted to clothe 100, we gave away 300 pounds of clothing. We wanted to do something special for our children who have been locked away in their homes for way too long due to the pandemic. We were able to give out $9,000 worth of toys, gifts, and clothing and coats. We did all of this during the pandemic. And you know what else? We were able to feed the homeless. We were able to clothe the homeless. And we were able to build a community program that was happening today. I mentioned it, which literally went across three cities and involved five other cities contributing and also potentially the future lieutenant governor of the state of Maryland.
So all right.
In 4 months,
that came from me. Elder Vonner is on the phone now to ask his question. All right, Elder Vonner.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Me. I started off. Go ahead, Elder Vonner. And then we have Dr.
Okay.
Rose from Maryland has a question.
Okay. Once again, thank you, Mayor. Sister Cross, thank you so much for doing what you do. But my question for you and maybe for the audience is, Mayor Cross, how do you keep God as the center as you go about your dealings on an everyday basis? How do you keep focus and keep him center in your life and model that? What keeps you motivated?
Well, you know what, Elder Bonner? Because I have to keep God first because he called me to the mission. My motto is moving the mission forward. If he called me to this mission, then he has to own it. I make sure
Absolutely.
That I don't own it. I make sure that I'm the servant that he needs for this such time and hour. So it's easy for me to do his bidding because I wait for his instruction. Just like a reverend, doesn't stand up in the pulpit and start speaking. He waits for the God's instruction. So when you are led and you're walking in God's divine order, when you are recognizing, as Christians, we know good order. When you recognize that you are walking in God's order, he makes things happen that is so clear to you that that had to be God. What I was outlining for Dr. Rowley a minute ago was how much effort we were able to put on the ground in 4 months. I did that, and it only cost me $2,000. That's God. You don't give away $9,000 worth of toys, gifts, coats, and give away 500 pounds of clothing, 300 pounds of food. You don't do that without something greater than you in the midst. It's called faith. That's how I do it. I keep him first. I build on that intimate relationship in prayer. And I also make sure that his mindset is my priority. When I say that, many things that don't always feel good to us, I don't know. When you have that statement, that's man thinking. That's not God thinking. Because God never tells you to say, I don't know. He always says, okay. Because in the end, it all works together for your good. So all of my talents, what he has given me by way of the military and training, is all called together for such a time as this. I need the stamina from when I was left to try and lead forces in the middle of Spain, because our plane broke down. I need the energy when I was in Tops in Blue performing 118 shows around the world for the troops in a humanitarian circumstance. I need the planning when the mudslides happened in the Philippines to also combat the global war on terrorism. I need the financial astuteness, which was able to then hold 27 portfolios for the United States, military forces. So God gives us everything we need to succeed, and that's what keeps me rolling. When he called me, he said, you have it, I need it. And he called for it. It's not mine, it's his.
All right, thank you. Dr. Rose from Maryland. She is in mental health, and then we have Sandra from New York. Dr. Rose, you're unmuted. Dr. Rose? Okay, we're going to go to Dr. King Vitus, South Africa.
Once again, I am so excited. Actually, I'm just beaming with a lot of smiles because of what we have been told here this evening. If we remember, on the 3rd of January, we started talking about the need for Christians to get into government and get into international bodies. So today, it gives me a lot of joy to understand that a woman, black for that matter, decided to step into God's call and made up her mind that if God sends you there, definitely he's going to see you through it. So for me, it's not really a question, but to let her know that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men what God has laid in store for everybody or and anybody who decides to say yes to the call of God. You're doing an amazing work, Your Excellency, and I know that the time is just right to be the woman and the great leader that God has called you to be. Congratulations once more, and thank you for sharing with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Bettis.
All right, we have Sandra. I've unmuted you. You have a question or comment? Go ahead. Sandrin?
Yes. Hi. My question, as a woman of God, how do you handle the tough situations when you think it conflicts with your beliefs?
So here's the thing. Women of God have to be totally committed to God, and that heart drives our actions. We are very clear nurturers of our society. We care deeply, right? And we do make a lot of allocations as a woman because we want to make sure that we bring forth those traits of godliness, the rubies, if you will. But when you're totally committed to God as a woman, when you're talking about what my values are, are you talking about my carnal values or my God values? Because my God values is the fruits of the Spirit, right? So
yes.
If my God values are the fruits of the Spirit, then those fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when something challenges your personal values, and I'm going to say those are your carnal values, then you have to put it in the fruits of the Spirit. Those are, as a Christian woman, what makes my carnal values take the back seat so that my Christian values, the fruits of the Spirit that I'm called to, can take the forefront. Because it's just as Dr. Bettis said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has in store. So if I say, you know what, I don't believe in this, or I don't believe in that, or I don't like this and I don't like that, what's the first thing you hear me say every time? See, it's not about I. Because we can't speak for God, then we have to be willing to allow his attributes to come forward. If you're the light of the world, if you're the salt of the earth, then that is inside of self-control. And a lot of that is making sure that you are not biased yourself. Because when we look at our carnal minds, most of that is biases. It's based on how you were brought up. It's based on where you was brought up. It's based on how rich you were, how poor you were. It's based on so many things that God never called us to be based on. Because if we had the contentment that God called us to, then you wouldn't have really those biases. Look at Christ. Christ had no respective person. He treated the whore the same way he treated the tax collector. He treated the tax collector the same way he treated Simon. He treated Simon the same way he treated Paul the same way he treated, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar. He treated everybody the same. What he treated us with was the eye of the expectation of the creation. So if I take myself out of the picture, now I'm no longer judging you for my own purposes, but I am understanding the good that God is calling you for. And that's what I focus on. I help people see the good that God is calling them for. So even if they're acting up and being terrible in that, there is a missed purpose. So if we stop judging people and start to understand what potential God has for them, they're in this earth just like we are, right? So everyone is on this earth for a purpose. Corinthians tells us that. To everything under the sun, there's reason. So we have to take I out, put the fruits of the Spirit against it, pray, okay? Pray religiously. Pray without cease, because God never puts his Christians in a place where we are not supposed to be. So that's how I do it. I take I out of it, leave my biases at the back door, meet it with faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, long-suffering, kindness, peace, joy, and love.
All right. We have one more question, and then we're going to have Dr. Nikki give a prophetic word of encouragement. Then Sandra's going to come and pray. But after this question from Remy or comment, I've unmuted you. Give your contact information so people can be able to contact you. I don't know if you give out your phone number, but like I said, there are several elected women at a district law level or aspiring to do something bigger in government, and so I want to thank them for joining the call. So, Remy, you're the last person, and then, Mayor, give us your contact details, a call to action. We have a sage in Dr. Morty, will give you a word of encouragement, a prophetic word. Sandra will pray for you, and then I will close, and that's the end. All right, Remy, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you, sir, for this opportunity. I want to appreciate the influencer tonight for this great talk. We have been motivated and encouraged. My question actually has been answered from our response to the last question. My question was going to be, how does she handle opposition and people who do not have the same background, the same faith, you know, believe in the same things like she does? But as she was answering the last question, she touched on that question and gave some answers to it. So I would not like to just, you know, let her go over it all over again. So I would like to say my question had been taken care of.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mayor, give us your contact information and give us a call to action. Then Dr. Morty, I'll unmute you and you give your prophetic words of encouragement, and then Sandrine will pray. All right, go ahead. Give us your contact, Mayor.
Okay, so my best contact is email, and let me give you that. It is KOOLMINT _2000@yahoo.com. That's the best way to reach me. I'm always with that Yahoo account. I've had it for over 35 years now. So that's going to be with me for life. And I welcome anyone to send any questions, impact to that email. Call to action. Obey God completely. Okay? Take yourselves out of the picture. Each one of us are here for a rational reason, to be a blessing to someone else. Be that blessing. Stop thinking and obey God completely. Keep focus on the job that God has given you to do without being a disencouragement to and receiving from others. If God has given you a task to do, because someone tells you no, don't take that personal. Remember, there is a battle going on, and the principalities are always going to take it personal, not God's people. I call you to take back what the enemy has destroyed: mental health in our community, wealth in our community, health in our community, perseverance in our communities. Take that back. Encourage your brothers and sisters around you. Be the person who says, you can do it. By faith I have in you, you can do it. Be that light in the world that's so desperately needed. I also call you to action to look back in your history and remind yourself of God's sovereign power over your life. Every time we breathe in, every time we breathe out, it's because God wills it. And that is not promised to any one of us, so don't waste time. Be an encouragement that God is full of grace and mercy, and he is waiting patiently for all of us, even me. As much as he's given, and as much as I've listened, and as much as I've followed, much more is required. Those are my call to action.
All right, Dr. Morty.
Thank you so much, Brother Keith. Mine is not a prophetic word. It's some practical things that I thank the mayor about, and especially because she's insisting on us as children of God. Let me say, here in Silver Spring, I called the police because me as a Christian, me as a woman of God, me as a woman who believes that the Christians are the light of the world, I look for foolish things to show that light. So here in Silver Spring, I organized to appreciate the law enforcement. I called people from PG County and Montgomery County. We wanted just a few of the police. We said we are going to honor them because there's so much hate between police and society. So me, the child of God, just like you said, Mayor, find ways to encourage somebody. So I called, it was Thanksgiving. I said, okay, we are going. I told my church. They couldn't understand. Many said, Dr. Maud, what are you doing? I said, no. But when we did it, the police, the chief of police of Montgomery County, first of all, they couldn't believe. And because I didn't have much budget, I asked just for a number, 20 or 50. They were so thankful because we honored them. We appreciated them. And we did again. I wanted us to keep on doing, but you know, sometimes we people in the churches, we are focusing on the spiritual only, to preach, to teach, to do all the spiritual. We forget the simple things that touches people. So, Mayor, what I wanted to ask you, to encourage you, to say, my background is from Africa, but I love to change community. I went to Burundi to hold our the host, no, Rwanda, Burundi, every country.
Dr. Morty, go ahead and give her the encouragement because we are well over time.
I want to encourage her to say there are people, okay, who stand with you to help you transform community. And the word of God that says, God is able to use you to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. And I believe, hearing you, I say, Mayor, God will use you even bigger with this community, especially in MDV area. Please, if God can connect us for the purpose of helping people, for the purpose of bringing hope, for the purpose of bringing love, for the purpose of shining light, God will do it. Thank you so much. I was so encouraged to hear you.
All right, you got her email, so you can get in contact her and y'all can network and collaborate. All right, Sandrian, give us a brief prayer, please.
Bless the Lord. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, Father God, we come before your humble presence tonight, God, thanking you, God, for this gathering of minds, hearts, and souls. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to come before you, to give you worship, Father God, to thank you, my God, for everything that you are doing in every life on this line, for your ability, Father God, to know who we are inside and out, to use us, God, to your glory. We thank you for the woman of God tonight who came to speak, my God, enlightening us, Father God, blessing us with her beautiful presence. We thank you, God, for her. We ask that you continue to strengthen her, God, in everything she does. Strengthen every person on this line as you have given us instructions tonight to keep doing the work that you have planted in us and to keep, Father God, going and obeying your word. We thank you tonight, and we ask you to continue to cover us under your blood. These are the mercies we ask, oh God, in your matchless, precious, and sovereign name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sandrine. Cross and Mario, we will continue to pray for you, and there'll be other platforms if time permits that we would love to have you on radio. You definitely have a message, and you have an Esther anointing, a Nehemiah anointing, a Joseph anointing for what you're doing. And if we're going to effect change and transformation, it starts at the city level, the grassroots level. And you're doing it. And so I would like for everybody on this line to commit to pray for her, because you have people that's your own color that don't like what you're doing. And we thank God for your military experience. We thank God for the Christian foundation and formation that has caused you to focus, Mayor. And I thank God for Mario, that's a husband. And that's what we were talking about this morning. Five things that a husband needs to do is to discover, as well as to deposit, to have that discernment to help develop and allow you with that divine connection to arrive at your destiny. So it's a team effort, husband and wife, and we're going to salute you. You're making us proud. And I am so honored to have been knowing you for almost, I think, 15 years. So God bless you, and I close with this. You can go back, everybody, listen to 591. Thursday night we will end our African-American history with Deron Rowan speaking to us on resilience, overcoming, and a better way. He's a mentor of Les Brown. And we're closing out on Thursday because next Monday, on the men's call and the evening's call, Morgan Hill will be the speaker as we celebrate 5 years of kingdom success in the Seven Mountains. And so we got some special gifts we'll be giving out to everybody on the line that night. And so anyway, we want to thank you. I close with a quote from Booker T. Washington. If there are many African-American history icons, but he touched me. It said about him, he lifted the veil of ignorance from his people and pointed the way to progress through education and industry. Let me repeat. He lifted the veil of ignorance from his people and pointed the way to progress through education and industry. Mayor Cross, you're doing this. We salute you. God bless you and your family, and to all, a good night.
Thank you, and thank